Now, I may have been stupid last night, but I did not go to a certain fast food restaurant and consume a greasy hamburger like several of my friends did after Cinco de Mayo festivities. They put up the posts of shit their visits to a certain well-known fast food establishment. But I do want to thank somebody for the solid you did for me. You know who you are, and I thank you for that. It was pretty cool, and I do sincerely appreciate it. Thank you. As far as my friends and their choice in, I don't want to say edibles, that has a totally different meaning at this point. But as far as my friends and their post-celebratory meal, you know, I really have to call their intellectual agility and their common sense into question. And one of them is an RN, which is ironic because it is National Nurses Day. It is also, oddly enough, the day of the KISS Radiothon to benefit Oshai Children's Hospital. So we're trying to help KISS raise money. And because of that as the overriding theme today, at least for part of the show, I know that you want to give people credit by name, but I always get uncomfortable when you say a name that I don't know or that I can't verify. So if you could keep individual doctors and nurses' names, at least last names, out of it, I would really appreciate it. But your experience with Children's Hospital, and I think all of us who've lived here for any length of time, we have had experiences with Children's Hospital. And, if you're just joining us, our biggie, my son was born there, but the biggie, it was a routine situation. The biggie was the whole type 1 diabetes diagnosis, 20 years ago. That was the, hey, happy 10th birthday. Here's diabetes. It was, oh my goodness. But she was playing hockey shortly thereafter, so she's always been a bit of a trooper. But in any event, the other thing that I wanted to talk about is something that I've wanted to do as a topic, and maybe it's silly to do it today, but I'm going to do it anyway because I've been known to do things that don't make a lot of sense. Does your kid have an allergy to peanuts? Does your kid have an allergy to gluten? Why? What do you think is going on? Growing up, I never would have thought that kids would have peanut allergies. The peanut butter and jelly sandwich was the staple food of my youth in the cafeteria at Brighton Elementary School, which, ironically, given the changing demographics of the town of Tonawanda, what was an elementary school is now senior housing. And that's a microcosm of the town of Tonawanda. Very fitting in a way. And it is National Nurses Day. If you're a nurse, what drove you to that calling? And I am always interested in knowing why people ended up doing what it is they do. I mean, I could tell you my story, but it's really not that exciting. And it's mostly luck. But if you are a... if you're a nurse, why? Why? I'm totally serious. Why nursing? What kind of nurse are you? There are specialty nurses. I mean, there are cardiac care nurses. I'm very familiar with them. Let's get 803-0930 out there as the phone number, star 930 as the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm a good patient up to a point. After I've been in a hospital for, 7-8 days, I do become a pain in the ass. I'm not going to deny that. Let's go to Michelle on Grand Island. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
I met you a couple years ago at a mutual friend's party, and I thank you for the show you did on grief. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I hate to say this, but I've got a bit of a memory deficiency because of certain issues in my life, in my heart. So you have to refresh my memory.
It was KB's pool party, and I tried to thank you as you walked in, but you were trying to get to Mrs. Nerd to say hello, and then I caught you later on because you did the show on grief based on the letter I sent you about 7 years ago this month, actually.
I'm glad you found some relief in that.
I did. So it goes to my children's story, actually, which both my kids were long-term patients at Children's. My son was born at 29 weeks, so he was there for about 8 to 10 weeks and ended up coming out of there pretty much healthy and caught up within 6 months, which was great because he was only 3 pounds when he was born. And then my daughter, the one that I, the one that passed away, she was in Children's because of this rare stomach issue she had, where she basically starved to death over 5 years. The 5 weeks that she spent in Children's were amazing for the most part. Her nurses were fantastic to the point where they would come in on their day off. They brought their husband and kids in to meet her. Her doctors came in on their days off to check in on her. Nursing staff would bring in food from home for her. It was just an amazing experience as far as the care she got from the nursing staff and some of the doctors. It was, for someone who's an inpatient that long, it really breaks up the monotony, and just they took great care of her. And through the 5 years she was sick, she was in and out of there all the time. From the very first diagnosis, when the radiologist pulled us aside and said, this is what she's got, and then when we found out it was very, very rare, it was just, the care both my kids got there was really great.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you're entitled to be emotional about it. It's your flesh and blood. It's your daughter we're talking about. What was her longest period of hospitalization at what I'm presuming was the old Children's Hospital?
Yeah, they both were at the old Children's. I would say my son was the longest, and he was, I think, eight or 10 weeks, somewhere in there. And then my daughter was 5 weeks at a stretch was her longest.
Mm. What was the problem with your daughter? And I'm not trying to pry here, but the problem with your daughter, was it a genetic situation?
No, we don't know what caused it, actually. She was fine one day, and the next, her stomach just stopped working. It was the craziest thing. She just started vomiting. She did not have an eating disorder. She was clear to that. And she just had a couple different issues. We don't know where it came from. We can only guess. We never thought to do an autopsy at the time. I wish I had, but just to maybe get more answers.
Mm-hmm. How are you holding up now? Because, you know, the word closure is often tossed around, which I really don't believe in, because it implies, I think, that, okay, we close the door on this and we move on and we forget it ever happened. I don't believe in closure. I think there's a mutation of grief.
Yeah. You said to me, when I wrote the letter to you and the show on it, you said it's like burning your hand, and because at that point it was just a couple weeks after her death. But it's a fresh burn. It stings like, you know, heck right now. Over time, a scar will form. It's still always going to hurt, but it's always going to be a pain that's there. And that's true. You know, we make a conscious effort every day when we get up and put our feet on the floor. When we wake up, we're going to live today. We're going to do our best job in her memory. You know, so I busy myself trying to help other people that have what she had, and working on a nonprofit that it was started.
Well, what is the name of the disease again, if you can help me out on that?
It is superior mesenteric artery syndrome.
Okay.
So back when she first got diagnosed, there were what we thought just a few hundred cases. Now there's thousands and thousands and thousands. That it's a hard diagnosis to get, and doctors don't really know a lot about it, and a lot of doctors don't believe in it.
Is it survivable?
Yes, it is, and they've come up with so many more surgical remedies right now that make life bearable and livable with right now. It's amazing what has happened in 7 years.
Wow. Superior mesenteric artery syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm happy, Michelle, to hear from you. I'm thrilled that you've put your grief toward a noble cause, and I appreciate you sharing your story about your experiences with Children's Hospital and the nurses and the doctors coming in on their days off. That's tremendous.
It really is. They went far and above and beyond what they actually had to, just to put a smile on her face and make her see that life wasn't that bad. She had to drop out of college at the time, so it was just one bad thing after another happening in her life, and they did everything they could to make her see.
And how old was she when she left us?
21.
I am so sorry. Thank you very much, Michelle. I really appreciate hearing from you, and the best of everything to you and your family continuing going forward.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for, you know, what you did for me 7 years ago, even though you might not remember it.
You know, I'm embarrassed. I get embarrassed sometimes when I don't remember things, and I apologize. I apologize for that. I'm sorry. It's something that's not quite in my control. But I appreciate that so much.
It really helped me with it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Wow. It's when she was reading what I'd written to her 7 years ago, I guess I would still say that today. It is, you know, when you lose someone, it is like a burn at first, and then the scar forms over. And, you know, the only difference is I don't think when you lose somebody like a child, I don't think the sting ever goes away. It might reduce or lessen over time. And I don't care how old you are when you lose a child. I mean, my now 87-year-old mother, you know, she was not, she was a rock of stability, don't get me wrong, but, you know, she had to bury a 64-year-old son, and you'd think, all right, 80 whatever, 64 years old, but it's still, you know, it's just not the way life is supposed to go. Your experiences with Children's Hospital, because KISS Radiothon is going on, you can become a miracle maker for just $15 a month to donate. Go to WBEN.com. You can text KISS Cares, one word, KISS Cares, to 51555. Let's go to Christine in Buffalo. Christine, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I just called to share my OTI story. My son was born at 25 weeks. He weighed 1 pound, 10 ounces. 9 inches long, I'm sorry, and he spent 572 days in there.
It's consecutive.
Yes.
Oh.
He was in there from the day he was born until, he was in there from August 3rd, 2017 until February 26, 2018.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
What was, if you don't mind saying, what was the situation?
He has chronic lung disease, so he has a tracheostomy. He was on pretty much every ventilator that they had at one point or another. He was on, like I said, every ventilator. He had such bad lungs when he was born that, I mean, every day was a question if he was gonna survive or not. And luckily, he's kind of shown us just how tough he is.
Well, how is he doing now? I mean, how old would he be now?
He is going on 4. He is a crazy little toddler. He's crawling around. I mean, he's still a little behind on some things, like he can't walk yet or anything, but he doesn't require oxygen anymore. And as far as the ventilator, he's been off of it for a couple of months, so it's just, we're going to take it from there and see where he takes us now.
You know, Christine, we had a young lady on our show who gave birth at Children's Hospital. The child severely, severely ill. and was receiving at-home visits from, I think, 8 different therapists a week. And those at-home visits stopped from Erie County because of COVID.
Yes.
Your son, are you in the same predicament?
Same predicament, yes. He has not seen his therapist. They just started coming back. We can go outside, but that's about it.
And it still makes no sense to me. I'm presuming you're vaccinated.
Yes.
And the therapist is vaccinated.
Yes.
And I don't really understand the point. I don't understand why they are letting special needs kids fall as far behind as they are falling. These kids need the maximum therapy at the earliest age possible. They're being denied it, and they're being denied it without a good reason.
Exactly. And for so many of these kids, they're so far behind already, and it's just making it worse. And it's terrible how we have to just like rely on computer stuff. No 4-year-old boy is going to look at a computer and pay attention.
No. And you know, for anybody, by the way, and I would happily open this up for anybody in that situation with a special needs child in Erie County, and you can only do an outside visit with your therapist. Oh, but wait a minute, Christine, if there's an inside visit, it has to be at a public facility. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes.
And it makes so much sense to go into an environment where you have no idea if somebody laid a loogie on the floor 10 minutes ago, as opposed to your own home, which you're pretty sure you know how to clean.
Exactly. And we've had my son home a little over 2 years, and he's still not been to like a grocery store or anything because I keep him away from... try to keep him away from all of that, and he's losing out because the only way we can get his therapies are if we go to a library. And part of it too is it's very hard to pack all of his stuff too. He doesn't travel light.
No, I'm glad you called with your story about Oshai Children's Hospital. I'm very grateful. And one of my mini missions in life is to try to get these therapists back into homes.
Yes, that would be amazing.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Christine. Yeah, this little girl, I alluded to her when we spoke with the lady from Oshai Children's Hospital. This little girl wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Children's Hospital. But this little girl came into this world with so many deficits. She was receiving 8 different therapists every single week at home. When COVID hit, those visits stopped and were being done over the computer. And the Erie County's policy is stupid. It's stupid when it comes to COVID because all the therapists are vaccinated. Every parent with a special needs child with whom I have spoken is vaccinated. So the therapist can come to the house on a nice weather day and do outside therapy because God knows there aren't any distractions outside like squirrels, rabbits, birds, airplanes, but they can do an inside visit if they go to a public facility. So let me just get this straight. A therapist cannot go into a special needs child's house where the parent, because they have a special needs child, no doubt has it sanitized to the best of their ability, but they can go to a place where any Tom, Dick, and Harry can go. It's asinine. And the Erie County Department of Health ought to be ashamed of itself for this policy. It affects people I know. It affects listeners of mine. And if you're in that boat, I would happily hear from you. I get angry just thinking about it because the little girl in question and any special needs kid is just falling further and further and further behind. And these people are without shame. They are just, and they're without accountability. And it defies logic. It defies common sense. It defies science. It's idiotic. And I would like to hear from any parent who's in that boat. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Why? Oh, it is Bowerly. Thank you so much, friends, for being here. We are now live, local, Buffalo on WBEN, the most listened to Buffalo radio station all day long, News Radio 930 WBEN. despite my dead weight dragging it down. Susan Rose, Brian Mazurowski, 5 to 9. Everything in the morning you need to know. B-Maz, Brian Mazurowski, and Beamer, Joe Beamer, 9 until 10. David Bellavia, 10 until 2. I love the story about the helicopter moving Matthew Broderick into his Manhattan high-rise. Wow. It was something. And the ham radio story. I always wanted to get a ham license, but I for whatever reason, I haven't found the time, and I guess I haven't wanted to do it badly enough to actually get it done. Anyway, it's Nurses Day, and do we not have any nurses listening who want to tell us what called you to the field of nursing? I mean, every other person I meet seems to be an RN or sometimes an LPN, but usually an RN. I would kind of be curious on National Nurses Day what got you into that, because I do think it takes a special kind of person to be an RN. You're not seeing people at their best. You're seeing people, obviously, that are sick or wounded or just plain don't want to be there, because none of us like being in a hospital. Myself in particular. But that's one thing that we've got. Also, KISS Radio, KISS 98.5, is doing its Radiothon to benefit Oshai Children's Hospital. And if you live in this area, I'm sure you've got a great story to tell us about Children's Hospital or Oshai Children's Hospital. Different location, but the same caring people, and new ones too, in addition to those who've been there all along. And one of the other things that I'm going to throw in is your kids and allergies to foods, because it is a growing phenomenon. We've been so COVID consumed, and I'm partly responsible for that. We've been so COVID consumed that we forget that even in COVID, there are still kids who are allergic to gluten. Kids who are allergic to peanuts. Peanuts, like, that was the big one back in the early 90s. I remember doing a show about a family on Grand Island and the outrage because no kid could bring a peanut butter sandwich to school because of this one kid. And now it's kind of like policy, I guess, at a lot of elementary schools. No peanut products. And people will put signs up. Hey, this donut might have been around peanuts. It's really incredible, the changes. And nobody knows why allergies are growing. And not to confuse you guys too much, but I want to hear also from you parents of special needs kids who continue to be denied the therapy they need. I went into it before, but basically the therapists are vaccinated. The parents are vaccinated. And Erie County refuses to do in-home therapy visits for special needs children. They can only take place outside, and in what is an absolute lack of common sense, if not outside, they can't be done in your home where you can control the environment. No. They've got to be done at a public facility where some guy might have urinated last night. I mean, I'm not trying to be gross gratuitously. I'm just saying, your own house, you can clean that. You can control that. And we have somebody coming up who's going to give us an update, whose daughter would not be alive if not for Children's Hospital. Here is Mark in Tonawanda First. Mark, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. I'm happy to hear good stories for a change.
Well, we've had great luck with Children's Hospital. Both our children were born there. And my daughter is the easy one. She just had a tumor removed from her leg when she was 3. But my
okay. You say that like it happens all the time. Ah, she was the easy one. She just had a tumor taken off her leg. That sounds pretty heavy duty.
Well, it was, non-cancerous. It was nothing like that. It was pinching her nerve and giving her, she had a hard time walking, and we got that sorted out.
Mm. Kids, it's amazing, like, when you read up about, for example, Peter Falk, the guy who played Columbo on TV, he was a little boy, he's 3 years old, he lost an eye to cancer,
and
nonetheless was just an amazing actor. But what happened to your son?
Well, my son has this condition called osteogenesis imperfecta, which is a brittle bone condition.
Mm.
So we get probably a break a year. And the nurses at Children's started calling us frequent flyers. We were visiting them so often. And we've had the opportunity to work with everyone on their orthopedic staff. So,
wow. Is there any cure, or is this a chronic, lifelong situation?
It's a chronic condition. It's genetic. No one in our family is known to have had it. But they do. The doctors have told us that it can be a spontaneous mutation. So, you know, we get about a break a year. We've had a good dozen breaks so far, and he's only 14 years old.
And you're talking about broken bones, not like you're getting a vacation. These are broken bones.
No, broken bones. Three legs, two arms, elbow, hands, feet, and some vertebrae.
Oy. Okay, now, how does this affect him? Because, you know, little boys want to play hockey. Little boys want to play football. Little boys want to be active, ride a bicycle. How normal a life can your son lead?
He's reasonably active. His case is mild. In extreme cases, people can break like an ankle stepping off a curb. His isn't that extreme, but it has gotten him very much into music. And he is becoming quite the guitar and bass player.
Oh, well, so there's that.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, he's doing really well, and he had an invitation. I'm in the music business, and I know several national acts, and he's had an invitation to play with them next time they play Buffalo, if we can play music again live. So, you know, we're looking forward to that.
Can you tell us which national acts?
10,000 Maniacs.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
You know, so yeah, I mean, you know, he really gets into that. He has a little home studio. He rides his bike. He hikes. We're in Boy Scouts. He doesn't play football or hockey, however.
Yeah, well, understandably so. What's your son's favorite guitar?
Well, right now he's got a. What is it called? Oh my gosh!
Fender, Gibson, Rickenbacker,
Yamaha Pacifica.
Now.
And we've actually over the past year bought and sold a few that he's found on eBay and Craigslist, and you know he wanted to try this and he didn't like the sound of it, so we get rid of it and try something else.
I bought a guitar on Craigslist, but it came with a dude, which was weird.
Well, you never know. Craigslist. You got to watch out. Your brother was just looking for a place to stay.
All right. Mark, thank you for your call. Give my best to your son. I'm sure he could shred me all day long on guitar. I'm glad you called.
Take care.
Thank you. I like Fender. I love Telecasters. I love Stratocasters. I like the sound. I do enjoy Rickenbacker, not going to lie, and the Gibson SG. I like the sound of that. We'll never buy a Les Paul. They're just too heavy for me. It's like, no, that's like weightlifting. No, thank you. Let's go to, here she is. Mrs. X is on the line on WBEN. Now, Mrs. X, I was referring to you earlier when I said your child would not be alive if not for Oshai Children's Hospital.
Yep, that's correct.
I don't know how many details you wish to go into, but if you wish to go into any, this would be the chance.
Yeah, both of my children were born early. They were both NICU babies. And, I mean, the nurses are just amazing, not just at Oshai's, but also at Sisters. One was in both NICUs, so, but they are just amazing, and they're so supportive and understanding and, you know, especially when you're pregnant and you don't know of any problems and you don't really know of anybody that has problems, then all of a sudden you have a baby that's early and then, you know, you just don't know what to do. They're right there to help you.
Now, I wanted you to call in because I had a lady calling in. I'm not sure if you were listening to the show, but you are you are Mrs. X, and I spoke with you a couple of months ago about your special needs daughter who has been denied in-home therapy visits by Erie County, unless those visits are outside or in an amazing display of a lack of common sense in a public facility where anybody can go, as opposed to your own home, which I've been to and is clean and sterile.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Has anything changed with that situation with your daughter getting her therapy?
So, unfortunately, nothing has changed.
This is an outrage.
I know. I keep calling and messaging Mary Martin, and I'm getting the same responses, which are that no changes have been made to their current protocols. And I keep saying, you know, well, I understood it a year ago, you know, because we were all scared. And now we have a lot more information. Her therapists are vaccinated. I'm vaccinated at this point. You know, it's like completely fully vaccinated. And I say to her, like, so can you please explain to me how it's safer for me to take my child into a public place than it is to have a fully vaccinated person come into my house? And she just doesn't explain anything, and she doesn't answer anything. And then I say, okay, well, can you please tell me when you're going to start looking at the rates of transmission in early intervention? Because, I mean, they're looking at the rates of public as a whole. And, I mean, this is everything's starting to open back up now. Everybody's doing a lot more, you know, stuff in public. So there's a lot more testing. And, you know, obviously the numbers are really high. But it's like, what are the actual rates in early transmission? And then they said that they don't actually go by those rates. They go by the public rates. So I keep asking her why and when they plan on, you know, revisiting their old protocols from a year ago, and she doesn't have any answers for me.
Hold on, Mrs. X. See, if you have a special needs child, and you can relate to what Mrs. X is talking about the therapists that are sent by Erie County into homes of special needs children, they're not going into homes. They're only allowing outside visits. The therapists want to go out. They're vaccinated. The parents, for the most part, are vaccinated, and Erie County insists on this asinine policy. And then if it's going to be an inside situation, it must be in a public place. Explain to me how a public place is safer than your home. It makes no sense. Would the journalist please start asking this question of Dr. Overtime? Woohoo! The fun never ends. All right, Mrs. X is with us. She is the mother of a special needs child who is only alive thanks to Oshai Children's Hospital. And I'm just wondering, Mrs. X, before we let you go, do you special needs parents, or that is to say parents of special needs children, do you guys have like a Facebook group or a gathering point like the WNYStudentsFirst.org has to get students back in school?
We don't, but I do post in there a lot.
Oh, you post in WNY Students First?
Yeah, I do.
On Facebook?
On Facebook.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to know that. Actually, yeah, you put me in touch with Tarya.
Yeah.
Duh. So I'm a little slow sometimes, Mrs. X. I'm sorry. Is there anything that I didn't ask you specifically that you would like to get out? The floor is yours, Senator.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the problem, too, is that, you know, if my child lived outside of Erie County, she would be getting these services in person without any sort of restrictions. The problem is only in Erie County. If my child was on Medicaid, since the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities kind of like covers all of the insurance, you know, like covers like the protocols of how people should be treated and how they should get their therapies, Medicaid will only go by what they say. And they say that Zoom therapies for people with special needs is they won't pay for it because they don't find that it works. So if my child was on Medicaid, then we would not be having these issues. If I had a ton of money and I could private pay for all her therapies, she would be in person. If my child was an adult, all her stuff would be in person. So the fact that she is a child in Erie County on, you know, like, because like, so it is a county program, so they do pick up the bill, but it first goes through my insurance. So if I had other insurance or if I was private pay, this wouldn't be an issue. It's literally the fact that I work and that I have, you know, insurance through work, that I'm not on Medicaid, that my daughter's not on Medicaid, the fact that we live in Erie County, like, it just doesn't even make sense. So,
no, well,
get COVID, but my daughter can get COVID. Like, it just doesn't even make sense. None of this makes sense. They have no answers. And even for adults, they even said, like, there has never been a requirement that in-home services for elderly and or disabled clients of the New York State Department of Health be provided on a client's lawn or in a community setting. So the fact that she's a child, and every time it rains or, you know, like when it gets cold again, we're going to go back to having to try to rent out a room again. Like, it's just, it's so crazy. Even when all her therapists are saying it's imperative, she will regress if she does not get these in-person therapies that she needs.
Oh,
and they don't give me any answers. And it just, it's so frustrating. Like, who, they don't even know me or my child, you know, or any child for that matter of fact. And I just don't understand why I would have to fight for this. And I don't understand where everybody else is, too. Like, why is everybody else not fighting for this as well, you know?
Well, I've tried my best, Mrs. X, and sometimes I feel like a voice in the wilderness. But I wish you the best, and make sure you keep us posted on the situation with your daughter and the other special needs kids in Erie County.
In Erie County.
All right. Thank you very much, Mrs. X.
I appreciate it.
Of course. Love you. See you soon.
All right. Bye.
All right. There is Mrs. X. Yes, I know her. Now, I do, before I go any further, want to send out a huge congratulations to the entire WBEN news team being honored with 3 regional Edward R. Murrow Journalism Awards. They're the elite class of journalism awards, and to receive 3 is an amazing honor. The categories WBEN 1 show the incredible depth of the entire WBEN news and on-air team. WBEN was honored for overall excellence, digital, and breaking news. And a big shout out to Assistant News Director Mike Baggerman, or as we just call him, Bags. WBEN, and I will send out, he's too modest to say this, a shout out to our operations manager and guru, Tim Wenger, who is one of the gurus nationwide of talk radio. WBEN is live, local, Buffalo, and award-winning. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, Bags.